The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Long time coming. Here we go, another Monday. Now look, I usually get on the air and I'm chipper and I'm, you know, not trying to find my words, but I'm extremely happy about a few things. So once again, you guys are listening to Melvin Prince Jonigan, Life's a Gamble. And the call-in number is 888-329-3306. And so we don't have a lot of time for small talk. So let me just run this past you, okay? You know I'm a Republican. I've been a Republican. I've been a Republican ward leader, 61st ward. So I'm going to run some Republican news to you first. The judge delayed Trump's sentencing in the hush money case until after the election. So you know that's never going to happen. We can't sentence a sitting judge. So that's never going to happen. So I'm in a sitting president. The judge can't sentence a sitting president. So if he's to win the election, that's never going to happen. So I call him Teflon Don, you know, for reasons. Reasons that, you know, he's experienced the court system. He's gone through the court system. He's utilized his money in such a way that he's paid the influence, that he's always paid the influence with his money. And it seems to work for him. And people come after him, and they keep coming after him. And so best luck to that. Secondly, I am extremely angry about this proposed fare hike with SEPTA. And what's up, Philadelphia? Weren't you just as mad for the services that they provide, for the violence that happened on a regular basis on all these SEPTA, whether it's the train or the buses? And yet they want to, it says, the authority plans to up fares for riders as it faces a $240 million annual budget deficit. $240 million. So except a for-profit company or a non-profit company. If it is a non-profit company, then they need to work some more programs out. They need to write off more programs. If it's a for-profit company, and someone need to call me and talk to me, I'm really upset and tired at the fact that Philadelphians can just stand by idle and let this bus service, which is one of the most horrific bus services in the country, want to raise $240 million. Now, granted, they do have a chairman who's an African-American, Keith E. Lawrence. But at the end of the day, he doesn't probably ride the bus or for aesthetics. He doesn't live in none of the poor neighborhoods and ride these buses. He doesn't see when the bus drivers ride past you. He doesn't see when they deliberately are overcrowded in some places. Well, lately they have not been overcrowded because for 2 years, we've had people social distance, so they really couldn't catch the bus, so they made other alternatives. So that's why we have so many people driving in the city with no insurance, tinted windows, cars with the whole bumper falling off of them. You forced the hands of the Philadelphians. And this is the problem. Once you force their hands, you can't get it back. You know, no, you can't have $240 million. Where's the campaign? How come all the poor people not screaming and hollering no? They just going to take your money. If you work for it, they're going to take your money. So if it's a nonprofit, they're going to take your money and raise fares. You don't remember last time a bus service tried to do something, tried to be discriminatory, tried to take the very poor people money, tried to make you sit on the back of the bus and you guys boycotted and protest and the buses begin to capitulate and change their ideas and work with you? No. What about all those buses or trains that they purchased that don't work. They spent $60 million on that. And you want $240 million. Make it make sense to me. You know, on a $1.6 billion stadium, which requires state funding, which requires just the residents to pay taxes or funding from residents, taxes. And now you got $240 million on top of $1.6 billion. And then this mayor budget is like is in the billions. You're the fourth or fifth largest, big, poorest city, and yet you keep staying with the B number. The B numbers is always, the billions of dollars go through this city right here, and yet it does not affect any of the communities that has been systematically poor, made poor, systematically. They're not just poor because they don't have. They're not just poor because they have strings of hay and strings of mud, and they put it together, and they become poor. No, they are poor because it is a profit in poverty. You can live in a house, and we can give you a voucher for it, and you can pay $25 a month if you're not working, and we can give you utility vouchers so you don't have to pay utilities, give you $250, and yet the mayor is in North Philly at a podium with the one finger up talking about the land bank. And they're selling 100 properties in North Philadelphia. How you selling 100 properties in North Philadelphia? Make it make sense to me, Ms. Mayor. You selling them for a dollar? Are you selling them for a dollar? How you going to get market rate property? You just increased the taxes, property taxes, 42%. So who's going to be buying these houses? Oh, the people who you're going to give a 10-year tax abatement to. Those are the ones that are going to buy these houses, the ones with the 10-year tax abatement. So if I buy a house in North Philadelphia, you give me 10 years tax abatement. But if I've already been living in North Philadelphia for 20 or 30 or 40 years, I am under the duress of your 42% tax increase. You know, I rarely call anybody out their name. I rarely call anybody stupid. I rarely call anybody. I value everybody. But for you not to value yourself, for you not to stand up and fight against this injustice, for you to just say, I'll take some more. I'll take it on the chin. It is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. And I'm looking at it now because the administration is mostly African-American, both in city council and in the office of mayor, you know, the mayor herself. And I am just upset. There's not been one union in this city right here who have got a one-year extension. The police officers didn't get a one-year extension. All the other unions didn't get a one-year extension. They got a deal done. They got a deal done. But District Council 47, we're just going to extend 1 year. We're going to extend 1 year. We're going to go along with the normal routine and extend you guys 1 year. And you guys don't fight for agreement. Do you realize that there is a presidential race in November? And if it does not turn out the way you guys want it to turn out, your 1 year may be null and void because you may not have the money. You think all the unions think they always going to have the money. It's always going to be replenished and stuff like that. And you got some people who aren't going to pay into this system right here. They just don't. They're not fans of unions, and they don't believe that, you know, we should be giving them all this money. And now you don't let so many foreigners in here that are skilled foreigners that some places are trying to get built without union participation. You know, that's why they have to lobby hard for politicians to support their initiative so things don't get built. Anything over $5 million should be union. I'm a fan of unions, but I'm saying that sometimes we shoot ourselves in our foot. How you get a black mayor that this District Council 47 voted for, and yet she can't give you 4 years on a deal? When did she become such a negotiator that she can negotiate an extension on your contract? Based off of what? Why are you extending the contract 1 year? who are the idiots down there that set for this District Council 47 to say, with all the things going on, with all of the uncertainties, you let the mayor, who is the mayor to negotiate you into a situation of 1 year? Well, you know what? You got too much favor on her. I would, anything can happen in 1 year. This is why the Sixers Stadium is such a, it's such a bad deal. They're talking about over 30 years. Anytime somebody tell you over a long period of time, the commitment is too long. The commitment is too long. Over 30 years, you're going to benefit over 30 years. It's gonna bring back and reap you the benefits over 30 years. It's too long. And you are drinking the Kool-Aid, and you don't want to fight for anything. Like, you just want to listen, and you want to play the card that, well, they look like me. No, they don't. They don't. They don't breathe the air you breathe. They don't play in the sandbox you play in, and they don't live in the neighborhood you live in. You watch Good Times, and you watch the Jeffersons, and you could relate to Sherman Hemsley, but you could never meet him because he's not coming to your neighborhood anytime soon to meet with you. Not that he couldn't. It's the problems that the power be would never let him get that close to you. It was different when everybody lived in poor neighborhoods and come from poor neighborhoods, and the rich people were coming back to visit their mom who was still in the poor neighborhoods. That is not the case now. These African-Americans sit at the table with folks who don't look like other African-Americans in places where they got fine dining, where they have waiters and waitresses and stuff like that, and you are looking at them, accepting them because they got the slang, the slang language and the jargon as if they can relate to you. That is impossible. That is impossible. And you're not angry about it. You're not angry about anything. You letting every, your kids are failing in school. And so you had a man of a different race say, what do you have to lose? And if that was a question offered up to you by Martin Luther King or by one of your other favorite people, would you have answered that question? Because I don't see Al Sharpton asking you that question. He think everything is okay. As long as he can negotiate at the top of the table, at the top of the table for you, he think everything is okay. I've not heard any of the people talk about your failing school system. I've not heard any of the people talk about the competency and those things when it comes around to you having the things that you need to compete. I'm not talking you having the things you need to be black. That doesn't even make sense. You need to have the things to compete. You just need to compete. And right now you're not. And it's embarrassing. One of my friends, I like to call him a friend. We are both alumni of the first university in this, out of the HBCUs. And he writes an article in Sunday's Tribune. And the title, the top of it is, white media must stop treating black rappers like they are black leaders. And I don't understand why he would say that the white media is to stop treating black rappers like they are black leaders when he at Temple University was teaching a hip-hop course. You don't teach a hip-hop course without teaching about rappers and hip-hop. So if you're teaching about rappers and hip-hop and rappers are your primary source of conversation in a hip-hop course, are you not teaching folks that rappers play a specific or play a very valued part in their learning because they pay for this course? You're teaching this course, so they have to leave with something. So they're going to leave with not just the lyrics, but the people who recite those lyrics and perhaps why they speak about those lyrics the way they speak about it. So why would it ever be an issue where you cannot be a leader if you've accomplished both economically and if you've accomplished both fame? So when I see Lil Wayne And when I see Sexy Red, and they went to President of the United States, they're not with the President of the United States based on them being friends. They went to President of the United States based on them being, them raising and making enough, a name for themselves, having enough money, and then being in those rooms with someone who has that kind of influence. Because it's no different than the boxers who was with Donald Trump. So look, it's 15 after. I'm going to take a break. My lines are always open. I'm a little upset today. You know, I'm going to ask you a question. Are we rolling them? Or are we passing them? You know, so be prepared to answer that question right there. And let's talk about this SEPTA deal, because this SEPTA proposal, you know, I'm hoping it fails. I don't really wish it go through. And I'll tell you why. Because in a press city like Philadelphia, you know, we've already heavily subsidized trans passes and tokens. And so what's going to happen is that SEPTA is going to put a proposal in, and then they're going to give away the stuff for free again, and then go to the state for them to pay for it based off the demographics of this city that they already get the stuff away for free. I'm going to take a quick break, 2-minute break, and I'm going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this subject.
Serving my country required sacrifice. Sacrifice that changed my life forever. I remember the day I came home. Because of my injuries, this house wasn't right for me anymore. I remember the narrow doorways, the small bathrooms, the shelves out of reach when in my wheelchair. Every day was full of obstacles. I felt trapped. I remember a better day. The day my family received a specially adapted custom home from Homes for Our Troops. That day changed everything. Now we have a safe and accessible home to enjoy the freedom I fought for. This place, our home, is exactly what we needed to rebuild our lives.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Ladies, have you ever felt bloated for no good reason? Pelvic pain or pressure? Too full too fast, even if you're eating just a little bit? Not so unusual, right? But if you have any of these things and they go on for 2 weeks or longer, see a doctor. Because bloating, feeling too full too fast, and pelvic pain or pressure that doesn't go away can be signs of a gynecologic cancer, like cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer. And if your periods are heavier or longer than usual, or you have bleeding after menopause, see a doctor right away. It may be nothing, but find out for sure. Learn the symptoms. Listen to your body. For more information about gynecologic cancers, call 1-800-CDC-INFO. That's 1-800-CDC-INFO. A message from HHS and CDC's Inside Knowledge Campaign.
You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your...
There you go. So I always try to come back at that point. You never count your money while sitting at the table. Be plenty of time to count your money when the deal is done. That's some good advice. So look, I want to run this one thing past you that I would have liked to have mentioned. So you know there are hearings about the detention center's future. And the facility in the far northeast has no air conditioning. It's infested with rodents and is currently operating at less than half the staff level required to meet the safety criteria. Wait. It's almost, do you realize what this is? The paper, this is the Tribune, this is the Black paper. It's a small on the front page, and the detention center future is in question now. But let's look at this. The facility in the far northeast has no air conditioning. How many days have we had with 100-degree weather? How many days? And yet, you don't care enough. Let's just say that that detention center has 60% African-American there, roughly. might be more. I doubt if it's less. But if it has 60%, you're talking 60% of the people in the detention center that didn't have sufficient air conditioning on those 100-degree days. And we had a lot of them in the summer. We had a lot of them this past summer. It's infested with rodents. Work with me. And the staff is less than half. I remember telling you a couple weeks ago that the correctional officer facilities was operating at about 35 to 40% efficiency. And yet they got 110% occupancy. 110% of prisoners in an overcrowded situation is not going anywhere. And yet you only have 40% staffing. Now that's cruel and unusual punishment because some people can't, and some people, humanity is challenged. At the very essence of them not being able to go get a shower or to have the recreation time that they desire or that is allowed for them. And so if that is the case and you as African Americans in this city are not talking about these issues right here, you want to be lulled to sleep by playing games. You want the smartest people from the Dukes and the University of Penn to talk to you. You want people to speak these 10-letter words into your system and move you and mobilize. You know, when as grandma, who probably couldn't write her name, who would mark X when the insurance man would show up, has better character that she would go down and join the NAACP and say, where can I be of some use? It doesn't make sense to me. But you want people to talk to you. You want to get on here and pontificate and appear to be smarter than someone who has degrees on the wall who claim to be smarter than you, but he's never lived in your neighborhood. They don't even drive by your neighborhood. They won't even come to visit you if you were their best caller. They don't experience last night's shooting. They're not ducking under no bed. They're not ducking behind a dresser. Then they're not going to a funeral. One young lady went to 2 funerals this week. 2 in 1 week. 2 family members in 1 week. And you talk to them. You talk too much. You talk too much. You want to explain to everybody the psychological damage that you have gone through and make it sound like you the smartest person, like you could deal with trauma. You know, you can deal with not being able to pay your bills. You can deal with now another person in your family who will not contribute because they're no longer on this earth. Talking about angry, I'm so angry that you have decided to just tap out. You know, you worse than Mayor Kenney. African Americans have decided to tap out. What do you want the poor people to say? We giving them houses all day long. We giving immigrants housing. We giving poor people houses. So you go to work every day and you get harassed. But do you realize the problems that's over at DHS? Half of the staff don't want to work there. 80% of the staff got Advil, Tylenols, and Excedrins in their drawer. They got more caseloads now than they've ever had before, and they have the propensity of going to jail if they do something like miss some files in one of the caseloads. Even the folks who graduated from these prestigious HBCUs, both Cheney and Lincoln, who get these case management jobs, are not safe. 21 years, 20 years, 23 years, and yet you got people coming at your neck. All it takes is one incident. Do you realize that you won't be able to retire, you will not get a pension, and someone will be firing you? You will be starting all over again, going down there, trying to hobnob with one of these politicians, and for what? There's a whole group of people that ain't kissing tail, ain't hobnobbing, ain't showing up at all the events, giving donation campaigns money that they don't have. It's called the Republican Party. Come on over. See how it feels. The first question I ask you when I meet you, you know, not what party you're part of, ask you, how you doing? Are you working? Why you not working? Now, if you're telling me you just want to go play basketball with your friends at LA Fitness on the weekends is more important than you raising your kids and making enough money to raise your kids, I'm going to say, okay, cool. Make a shot for me. You're telling me that you go to church and you pray to God and you're living out of a hotel or a motel, I'm going to say, oh, fine, okay, you know. But I always think that some kind of economic, some kind of money coming in, you know, helps a lot of things. You know, I've never seen it to be the root of all evil. You know, I've seen it mismanaged. I've seen it gambled away. But I've seen it pay bills. I've seen what it could do for folks on Christmas. I've seen what it could do for folks on their birthday. So I'm not a different kind of anything. I'm with the Republican Party. It's always been before folks who have benefited from segregating it, meaning that Democrat and Republican opposed to working together. You kind of need somebody on the other side. There's not one team that you could put on the court that can play by itself that anybody would watch. At all. And so the debate is coming up Tuesday. And if you know anything about Donald Trump, he's undefeated. If you know anything about Donald Trump, he has this way with words and he has this way with information. The only reason why he's been in the game because he has been on both sides. He has a way with information. They thought they was doing something when they had shown that he had donated to Kamala's campaign at some point in time. Well, he has enough money to do that. There were some go-to people. There's go-to people in this city. Whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you're going to go see Bob Brady and have a sit-down with him. Whether you were a Republican or a Democrat, you would go see Johnny Dock and have a sit-down with him. And there's plenty of other people in the city right here. It's just the you know, I had a friend who said, you know, the food you eat is the song you would sing. And he was 10 toes down with that. Because there's a good chance when you're in the room with one of them politicians trying to cut your deal, trying to get in office, hoping to be a judge, or hoping to be a city council person, hoping to be a state rep, you know, that you know, depending on what kind of man or woman you are, depending on, you know, how you was raised, what morals you were built with, then you're going to stand 10 toes down. But if you didn't come with those characteristics, then, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas is what they say. So when what happens when you're in those rooms stays in those rooms, stuff like that. And plenty of people have been on more so that side of the deal than the other side. And so, I don't know how we're going to fix these problems, but we first have to identify that these are problems. You know, you first have to stop letting people talk at you and have them talk to you. And right now, you are gullible. Philadelphia, you gullible. You sad. You know, you want to debate somebody about a debate that's coming up tomorrow, and yet you still can't pay your bills. And it's still the first of the month. Past the 10th of the month, there's late fees and stuff like that, but you're only concerned about the debate. Neither one of those people debating know you. So why get in the argument on the bus? Why get in the argument on the street corner? You do better arguing about how bad the Eagles played the first half than you do worrying about the debate. Debate gonna take care of itself. Debate gonna take care of itself. We're not winning with all this arguing and bickering. You know, we're just not gonna win that way. So look, I put a few things out there. I'm not happy with the SEPTA asking for $240 million, wanting to raise fare. I'm not happy with that. I'm not happy with the mayor giving District Council 47 an extension. I'm not happy with that. I'm not happy with a friend of mine writing that the white media stopped treating black rappers like their leaders. Because if I can recall, Megan Thee Stallion was just running around with Miss Harris. Was she not a leader? Did Miss Harris not chose her? And you ever seen her videos? You know, your kids couldn't watch those videos. So I don't know what this guy is talking about who wrote this article. Clearly, they're leaders. Run DMC's a leader. You know, all those guys, Lil Wayne, everybody participate because you know why? they got enough money to have the influence to go into infrastructure and rebuild or be at the table as investors and help us out. Miss Mary, how are you today?
Yes, good afternoon, Prince. You know, they just prosecuted a manager that worked for SEPTA. He was employed for about 40 years, where he was doing deals with his friends, and he was siphoning off money from SEPTA. So, you know, we have a problem here in this country. Like you said, we subsidize everything.
Everything, yep.
Until we start making people not only pay back the money that they originally stole from these organizations, these industries that we're subsidizing, and we're not looking into their bank accounts. Because a lot of these people have offshore accounts. You know that the federal government, they just turns a blind eye as to exactly if you're in a high position. Oh, I'm not going to touch that because that's going to affect me moving up the ladder. We have a lot of government organizations out there that's looking at what's going on. We have the Government Accountability Office, and it was a publication by a United States Senator, Tom Corbin, and he was a Republican. He's deceased now. His last publication was Banking on the Poor, How Corporate America Exploits Struggling Communities to Collect New Market Tax Credits. You know, and he was fighting when he was a senator to make sure that we start collecting on waste, fraud, and abuse in this country. No president that we've ever had in office was willing to tackle that. No senator or congresspeople, because a lot of them are attached to these nonprofits, industries.
So
they're not going to try to prosecute themselves.
There is, to your point, there is those who go in Congress and Senate who it may have cost them $2 million, $3 million, and they come out $40 million richer.
So you're right.
I wrote in one of my a book I haven't released yet with the idea of me running for Congress, and I know that I have documented in there those folks who had gone inside of Congress. And before they left, did you get a chance to take a look at the Tribune, Sunday's Tribune?
Oh, yeah. I haven't read the last Tribune. I buy the Tribune every publication that it comes out, you know, and I make sure I get all these newspapers because all of them have something different in it, you know. Right. And when you're not willing to state the truth, you know, you have to do a lot of research regarding these newspapers. I get the Philadelphia Inquirer, Tribune, Washington Post, and every publication that I see on the stand that's going to affect us as citizens in this country. Because you cannot rely on just one publication. I remember reading something in the Philadelphia Magazine where they had in there that Mayor Nutter sued the city of Philadelphia and received $15 million. I've been asking questions. What happened to the $15 million?
So I also, that Philadelphia Magazine, I have a copy, and I think they did an article, a really good article on Ed Rendell. And I picked that up in Harrisburg, and I was like, wait a minute, I didn't even know that magazine existed. But on page 8A, it says, Biden administration moves to end sub-minimum wage for disabled workers. And I didn't even know there was a sub-minimum wage that they were making because I used to see them at the bottom of the, at City Hall. They were working in the mail room, and folks would have them delivered to City Hall in the morning, and they would, you know, they may have Down syndrome or some other stuff,
right.
But they were working.
You know, they were working in the state building, mm-hmm. state office building, doing cleaning,
vacuum cleaning the floors and
everything,
and cleaning
yes.
up and stuff like that. That is correct. And so we were making those folks, and so say a person, because I think the guy that we had known, he lived in his mom's basement. Like, that was his independent living. He could come through the back door, up the driveway, come through the back door, and then she would prepare his meals. He would come up to eat, but it was kind of like his independent living. And here we got living, able, physically able and capable people that can't get jobs, but we got opportunities for disabled workers to get jobs. And so you make an able worker disabled by not giving them the resources in order to do what he, you know, to take care of his family. And so it's we have to fight different. We have to fight different, you know. And so we don't want to look up anything. We think the person that is telling us the information, we just going to live with that. We don't want to do our own homework.
No,
so I'm going to run this past you. So Joe Biden now is worth $92 million. Mitch McConnell, $89 million. Nancy Pelosi, $86 million. Chuck Schumer, $66 million. Leslie Graham, $82
million. I know. Lindsey Graham, he don't even take a salary. He's so busy with the wars. He has private contractors. He's in every war, him and Tom Cotton, who's a Republican.
Mitch Romney.
You know, these people are taking advantage of citizens.
Hold on,
Miss
Mary, I'm going to run the list down to you. Mitch Romney, $71 million. John Cornyn, $41 million. Adam Schiff, $62 million. Dan Crenshaw, $20 million. Elizabeth Cheney, $77 million. Kevin McCarthy, $42 million. Jamie Ruskin, $38 million. Mike Pence, $61 million, Greg Pence, $17 million, Rick Scott, $63 million, Hakeem Jeffries, $74 million, Ihem Omar, $33 million, and Elizabeth Warren, $42 million. And so the only name that's probably not on here is Kamala Harris and her millions of dollars. But the problem is that when you say vote like your life depending on it, or support this person because they're African American women. They're an African American woman. When you get these folks who call themselves educated, who's never traveled in your shoes, who you are giving respect to and credence to, as if they are a smarter group of people than you are, when they don't live in your neighborhood, they don't experience what we are experiencing here in this city right here, but yet you tip your hat to them and that you bow to them. That's just ridiculous. You know more than they know because you are here, you are present. I'm not just talking about you, I'm talking about every Philadelphian. So when you get somebody to say, well, I grew up in Newark, and I went to Penn. I went to Drexel, and I went to Penn. Neither one of them HBCUs. I have no disdain for those schools. Yeah, you might have went there, but when I tell you that somebody is getting shot at Wailuse, or I tell you the King Sesson, or if I tell you these places in Third and Berks and stuff like that, I know you don't know where they are. But don't minimize my understanding of what happened in my community because you don't live there. You're not a fixture. You're not familiar. You know, I always tell people that there was the School of the Blind, and they protested and put a petition out and got rid of the president of the school. You know why? Because she wasn't born blind. She became blind.
You know what? A lot of our city council members, senators and Congress, state representatives, a lot of them are multimillionaires just based on the properties that's they've been ciphering off in the land bank.
But
you'd be surprised how many have paid a dollar and have multi buildings that they own in the city of Philadelphia. So you have to look at everything. And when you have our government officials not willing to go after these people, and they're looking at it on the system based on waste, fraud, and abuse, then you're going to see with $35 trillion in debt.
Cowards. You don't want to, you know, the O'Rourke's of the world, the Amon Browns of the world, you let these folks in. Philadelphia have become a bunch of cowards. They don't fight for anything. Remember, there was a guy named Al Spivey, And Al Spivey wanted to be city council person. He wanted to be city council person before he was Curtis Jones' chief of staff. And Miss Mary Mason made a phone call and realized that he didn't live at the house he said he lived at because there was no utilities on at that house right there. And she had disqualified him from ever becoming city council by putting that information out. And she was a threat to these people. You letting these jokers get in there because they say evil men rule because good people do nothing. You were sitting on the sidelines knowing absolutely nothing. You didn't, you're not fighting, you know, other than yourself and other than other people who get up here, which makes it seem to the average lazy person that somebody's complaining or somebody always know too much information. And do you know, at a time, I'm trying to tell everybody, I was only a part of the NAACP because my grandmom, who when the insurance man came and she wrote, help, my grandma and my granddad wrote X. They used to write X. They grew up on Cyber Street, right where 24th and Cyber Street, right around the corner from Vaults High School. And they
went to Vaults Junior High School.
Yeah, that's where I learned to play chess at. Vaults had best chess program in the United. They had the best chess program in the country. You know, and that's,
you know,
where
that's
I learned,
where I learned about the stock market. I had a history teacher that had us to do his stocks for him. That was one of our assignments. You're looking at the newspaper, picking out his stocks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. And ever since then, I've been so involved with looking at our financial situation. You know, and people need to start realizing that. If you don't start trying to not only live for today, but also tomorrow, because you'll grow old before you even know it, and then you'll be penniless.
Right, not have anything at all. So are we rolling them today, or are we passing them?
No, I'm rolling them. There we go.
So I'm gonna take another break. I got another phone call on the other line. Thank you, Ms. Mary, for calling. And I'll talk with you next Monday. You always got a home here.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to take a two-minute break.
When I got out of the Marine Corps, I was not just, you know, working with my physical disabilities. I was emotionally broken. I remember thinking, how did I get here? How? It was affecting me in my marriage. My husband, he didn't know how to help me. He actually called Wounded Warrior Project. Wounded Warrior Project had this thing called Couples Odyssey.
It was an eye-opener, and I think it really saved our marriage.
They gave us books and resources and tools on how to help us with that.
I just love him. I love you, honey.
I love you, too.
Watching her fight for her mental health, fighting for other veterans, fighting for this family, helped me to fight too. Well, I always loved her, but I love her 10 times more for that.
Not all wounds are visible. If you or a loved one are suffering, visit woundedwarriorproject.org/notalone.
Women Heart is in a race to save lives. Heart disease is the number one killer of women. It's 80% preventable, if you know the facts. Millions of women are living with or at risk of different types of heart disease, like AFib, which is a type of irregular heartbeat. It affects both women and men, but women with AFib have a higher risk of stroke and death than men. Get educated. See your doctor. Know the facts. Diet and exercise are key to staying healthy. Know the risks. Women Heart does something really unique, solely focusing on women and providing peer-to-peer support. To win this race, we all have to do it together. Our hearts beat as one. To learn more, visit womenheart.org.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up,
know when to walk away. Carla, how are you today? Yes, hello. How are you? Are you there?
Hello?
Yes. George?
Yes. How you doing?
I'm pissed off, man. You know, I'm stepped to one $240 million. Nobody complaining about the services. They just want to pay them. You know, the detention center up there in the Northeast, nobody's talking about it because it's in the Northeast. You know, don't have no air conditioning, infested with rodents. You know, it's been that way all summer. We had over 10 days at 100 degrees or higher. The mayor convinced District 37, them idiots, whoever negotiating for them, to enter into an extension. How do you do that when you done closed the deal on every other union that came to the table? You done gave them full contracts. You want to ask this black
because they black.
It's just crazy right here, man. How you get to the table? You negotiating like you the other side, like you the other people. These are the people that voted for her. These are the people that went out there and they pushed the idea that the first black African-American mayor would do them some justice. And now she done made them take their butt back to work. And she gave them, do you realize that in November, if there's a different president other than the ones that they are supporting, that all kind of stuff could happen, right?
No question.
And they are not secure.
But what you got to understand, Prince, is this. It's all who you got at the table negotiating for you.
I'm pissed, and, man. Whoever it is a bunch of idiots, man. I don't usually call people out their name. I rarely do. But it makes no sense for you. Do you realize you shut this city down if municipal workers go on strike and don't work?
Well, they ain't going to do that. District Council 33 ain't going to do that. District Council 33
is going to get These are not the Henry Nicholas people. These are not the The Lou Blackwell people or the Dave Richardson
and the Earl
people,
Stout people
or the Earl Stout people or the these are not what's that lady name these are not the people that Carol Campbell people, you know, these aren't people that would be willing to make sure that you got a problem every time that that you come to City Hall. You know, they will be there protesting. They will be there with 10 of their good friends or protesting and stuff like that. The extension is just awful.
Well, Prince, you got to realize this here. You can't blame the members. You got to blame the leadership. District Council 33 has the worst leadership position now since the new president they got. He going to do what he's told. Get in line. You know, fall in place. Or
y'all made it
they won't have their job.
Y'all have made it so easy with this title, Millennium. You made it so easier for the people who are non-African-American to take these people. That's going to be target practice. You got O'Rourke and these other people in there. It's going to be target practice. We're just lining things up. It's going to be so sweet that the whole city council is going to turn a whole different complexion the next time out. I assure you.
Well, you're right. Prince. It's going to be a Caucasian council. And they're setting it up for that. Well, let me say it like this here. Since when do you give up power?
Yeah.
I mean, they volunteered in the budget to make sure that all the community groups, the money that they give out for different things and all that there, no longer. The only one, it's very few people spoke up for it. But the majority had its way. The minority had a say. They voted to give all money powers to the mayor. The mayor controls all communities, all community groups, all organizations. She has complete control. So therefore, what does she need with council for anyway? They already didn't have no power. Now they did have a little leverage with the community. Now when they go to the community, what can they say? Oh, we gave you this or we gave you that. You can't say nothing because you gave them nothing.
Let me tell you something.
They gave up hundreds of millions of dollars.
Nothing.
They gave that up. But then again, I can see where as though the controller, the attorney general, and the feds, they all looking at these groups. One group, some groups was getting like $50,000 a month. There's only two people in the organization, three people in the organization, five people in the organization. They get $100,000 a month.
Don't get mad when we come and start locking those people up. Don't get mad when everybody that's getting the kickback from the home health care system. You know, they the person who they take care of, you know, they making them pay them $200 just to they get $600 a week and they get $200 back to the person. When all of this stuff come down the pike, the same way that PPL money and all that stuff, you know, they start locking people up and giving them substantial
times. I don't know.
Times, you know,
I don't know about that,
I'm
but I know about
it's
all. Listen, you say it. I know one thing. I'm waiting for the new app scam to come, and I just can't wait to see it. I'm gonna sit back and watch the movie play out. And if people don't believe it, all you gotta do is go to your library, or go to like Temple's library and go to the archives and look up app scam. Look at all them old newspapers, how all those council people got jammed. That stadium down there that they want to put on Market Street ain't nothing but a front that the Fed's going to lock up. All them council people, believe me, most of them already took some money. They for sale. So then that threat they talking about going to Jersey, they ain't going nowhere.
Remember the book that I ran past you that's due to be released by the end of this month, and it speaks volumes in reference to the stadium. And when you got a bunch of people who there's $1.6 billion for the stadium, they only offer an African-American in the form of loans, $2 million. And so regardless of what you think about people, this kind of economic stupidity shows that you lack the representation at the table. You know, you want it, normally you would say disrespect, but when you gambling, when you in a game and you don't know the rules to the game and you don't know how to move money, and they realize that you aren't learned in how to move money and you put these jokers to the table, somebody say, well, he got 5,000 members. He got the largest church. I say, well, that's not a stadium. That's not $1.6 billion. What are you talking about? That's not a for-profit company. That's a nonprofit. Come on.
Prince, what you got to realize is that you put black faces to reckon, they just there. Mm. They don't have a say. They just at the table sitting there. Mm. Every time I've been in the room, I have to remind black people, yo, man, don't you see me sitting here? I mean, with their Thomas ways, you know.
Wait, hold on.
Dancing, scratching when it ain't itch.
I'm used to Milton Streets being in the room. I'm used to Lou Blackwell being in the room. I'm used to Dave Richardson being there. I'm used to all these people who told. There's another one too. There's another one. Who's the guy that ran for mayor? Bald head guy. Fat
Charlie Bowser.
Guy. Not Charlie. No, that's the dark skinned guy. I can't remember his name right now, but I sat with him at Popeyes, and he told me that Michael Nutter and Mr. Streets didn't like each other. And then I seen it when Michael Nutter had got elected mayor and he fired Mayor Street's wife and everybody else who came.
He fired everybody Street hired and put in position. He fired them.
And then,
okay,
so that kind of evilness.
Wasn't no shame in his game.
That's how come that kind of evilness was not received when they tried to support the city controller for mayor, because people didn't believe that they were genuine in making up with their relationships, because that kind of blood you never get over, you know, because it was sad for you to have done that, but it was even awful for you to deliberately do it. That's how come when he went to Washington anticipating that he was going to get an opportunity to be in HUD some kind of way with this president who... this African-American president who he went to see, although he supported Hillary Clinton, he wound up with nothing. Nothing at all. What'd you say before zero, George? The thing before one, George, is what?
Zero.
That's what he received. Nothing.
See, but Prince, what you got to realize is this, is that they put these people in position, and these people here, like, you know, everybody could see, if you don't know nothing about Dave Richardson, Lou Blackwell, you know, the people, Hardy Williams, if you don't know nothing about the key players and why they always was in such terrible fights and everything, then you don't understand. You got to know the history of how you got into where you got. We don't have those people today. You don't have anybody black in this city. They all pretend to be. They go in the room, they laugh and they grin and they ha and ha and they get that check and they leave. They get the yin yang, get that check, get that envelope, and they on their way. As soon as you talk about them, the first thing you got is a few of these suckers in this city talking about, oh, you shouldn't be talking about people like that. Well, if you see how dirty they talk about you, why do you, and you I'm know, just, the you main see, reason why council, let me say this, you know what the main reason that council gave up power, that money, you know, where people come and get money on it. They got tired of you hugging them. They got tired of you
community development.
They got tired of you
fun. So George, I got about 40 seconds. I got about 40 seconds. I'm gonna give you 20 seconds of it. And so go ahead, give me in 20 seconds.
Let me say in these 20 seconds. If you think your council person love you or think they do you so much, I'm talking about them kisser ups. They don't. They don't want you hugging them. That's why they gave away the money. They don't want you sitting up there asking them nothing. That's why they gave away the money.
So look,
who
give
away power
George,
of money?
Now, you know you got a home here. And every Monday, you know you feel free to call me. We'll be co-hosts on this right here.
I got to go.
I thank everybody for listening to me this Monday. I'll talk with you next Monday. Have a tremendous week.
To the room.